This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
And Gary, how do you see that from, you know, you build V Friends and clearly like gain people's trust, and you said, you know, people are kind of just like blindly following random people. How do you speak to people in a way, gain their trust in delivery, you know, value?
I think for me, I earned it. You know, over, like the timing was good for me. Like if this happened in this is not a made up story. The second I had my full eureka moment, which I think everybody has when they have moments like this, I literally stood up and said out loud in the middle of my apartment, "Thank you, God." I swear to God, I said that. I stood up because why I was saying that was not like, oh, I'm gonna make some money or this is cool. I said it because what took me to get to that place was everything that I've done for the last 30 years has now conformed into this, because you have to understand collectability, supply and demand, storytelling, IP, marketing, community build. Like it was, you know, for me, it was earned. Most of the people that bought V Friends, if you really look at them, and obviously I have a good sense of them, these are people that had a ton of context on me saying a lot of shit that a lot of people didn't believe in that ended up becoming true. And so, you know, to me, it is my greatest honor and my greatest fear, V Friends. It is my greatest honor and my greatest fear.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid to let people down, thus ruining my reputation. The risk that I put myself into with VFriends is extraordinary. I have built my career on my reputation. All of my businesses and how I work is based on my reputation.
But you did tell me, like the day we met, that like when you were exploring VFriends, that like the rest of your career was NFTs. Like you were committing everything, you were going all in on this, that this was gonna be the foundation of the rest of your career.
It's why the balance of the fear is conviction.
Right.
Like I have pure conviction about this. Like there is 0.0 doubt in my mind that I'm going to build one of the most significant intellectual properties in the world.
You've convinced me of that. Yeah, I was a little skeptical at first. I mean, I love what you're doing. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, but I see what you're doing now. You're executing on your vision.
I just did an interview with somebody who said, here's an interview we did in 2009 and I asked you to name your favorite entrepreneur and you went left field and said Vince McMahon and explained it was because he was a good storyteller. Like for me, the Vince McMahon Walt Disney thing that a lot of you that are hardest core with me that have been following me for a long time, the reason I've always brought those two people up is for different reasons, they've done the same thing. They made you care about Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan and Mickey Mouse and fucking Donald Duck, you know? Like, that's the game, and my confidence in my ability to build Patient Panda or Accountable Ant is through the roof because I know I want to do it, and I definitely know I'm capable of doing it.
One of the things you said to me too that resonated when we were drawing all these was, you know, like the Simpsons started out looking pretty rough.
Jimmy, this is the funniest thing for me. The community cares so much about provenance, and then they shit on me for my art sucking, even though I'm the one who drew it. Right? The most non-provenance thing of all. Of course. Of course. Like the least provenance thing I could have done was use the fact that I had money and could have hired any artist in the world. But I get why they bring that up because obviously a VFriend drawing is not of the caliber of many of the PFP designs. But I'm not looking to win the first inning of a 9-inning game.
Right, I love it. That's one of the things I think is brilliant about your strategy and why I think you will be able to build that next Disney out of this because it's not a solid state, you're gonna continuously evolve.
And there's an important point, I don't wanna forget it since we're up here and I know who's in the room. There's another big conversation that I think is really misunderstood. Right now, a lot of people are taking on the point of view that the community is gonna drive success of a project. And I think that that's going to end up being historically incorrect. And let me tell you why I think so. In 1992, when I was in high school in New Jersey, there was a stunning amount of Chicago Bulls fans. Stunning. Today in that same high school, there are none. Because we're in fucking New Jersey. What I don't think people understand is if the founders and the controllers of the project are unable to continue to build success, people will become bandwagon fans and they will sell their token and go join another community. And right now, the reason they believe is because they have their financial interest in mind. Most people are coming from a point of view based on their bag. They believe this is gonna work because they have six of them. It's a very dangerous perspective. And I think people are supporting projects where they don't even know the founders' names, let alone if they're capable of building a property. So I think there's an enormous amount of carnage coming, and the amount of money that's going to be lost is going to be staggering. Let's have beers. It's not be scared, it's be thoughtful.
Yeah.
Don't let your short-term financial arbitrage be the foundation of your point of view. It's clouding the shit out of people. I'm not saying this because like, hey, VFriends is gonna win because I've been successful in the past. Guess what? My success in building Wine Library or Gary V brand or Vayner has some nuanced aspects to me being able to build VFriends, but it's not a direct comp. Like, we have to be more thoughtful. There's a lot that goes into this. We were just talking back there and I was talking about iPhone games. So here comes the iPhone. Some of you remember, right? And I was investing then. And everyone's like, Gary, I remember one meeting so vividly. The guy's like, no, Gary, you don't get it. iPhone games are gonna be huge. I'm like, no, I do get it. iPhone games are gonna be huge. There's just gonna be 40,000 iPhone games that come out next month and only one of them is gonna be really successful. That's what's going on with this. Like, people are like, no, Gary, you don't get it, it has tokenomics. Gary, you don't get it, we have the IP control. Gary, you don't game, it's gonna be in the metaverse. Gary, you don't get it, it's gonna be a fucking TV show. I'm like, no, you don't get it. 99% of those things are the commodity. They have to execute. This is people's monies. And a lot of people have the majority of their net worth tied up in their tokens. That scares the piss out of me.
I didn't do that on purpose.
By accident. I also am paying attention to you, sir. I happen to see that you sold something for a lot of money. Now, I don't know what you're doing with that money, but I think you've actually, as we started becoming friends through this, I was really proud of you. I watched you take some off the, AJ's so thoughtful. He's always, in all these years, he's always like, he plays it different than I play. He's like, he takes dollars off the board and we always like kind of joke. But and he knows this for me, the reason I don't is all of it can go to zero. Thus, I play it differently because I have conviction. I'm happy for people that are taking some dollars off the board and hedging. Incredibly concerned though, I do believe we are smack in the middle where the majority of the conversation is about money, and that is always very dangerous.
So we just invite Gary and then hang out with Gary.
Because they had to make sure I was okay, which I think is amazing. I'm gonna add something to this. The biggest thing that helps me in my beginning is seeking out the other point of view to the thing that's emerging as my point of view. I'm gonna say this slow because this could really help people. I get in very early, so I would listen to Jimmy a lot and other people, and I'm just learning, right? And I would start forming intuition, ideas. And then I would actively search Twitter for the counterpoint, because I think what ends up happening is people find something, they like it, and they go too deep and it becomes an echo chamber, and it almost like becomes politics, right? You see it in the crypto space a lot. Unfortunately, because of what happened in 2017 with the ICO meltdowns and things of that nature, and because the Bitcoin community is very passionate, the Ethereum community, like, and because it's money. Like, again, this reminds me so much of Web 2, except for one thing. Everything's so transactional, and the money's here from day one, not in 5 or 6 years. And so I think one thing to think about is like, and you know this, Jimmy, one of the things that I really wanted to understand was dangerous enough on the tech to not get really caught. I don't wanna know everything, but I needed to understand mainnet, layer 2, bridging. Like, if I'm gonna buy these punks and Ethereum disappears, can I bridge them over the Plasma Bear saga of the dying bear? Like, I really, 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 really did a lot of homework. Like, and I think you need to do that. And when you get comfortable with one point of view, go here. Like, after I decided punks was the most important thing that I wanted to do, I spent the next 72 hours reading every anti-punk point of view that I could find. And I think people don't do that. You buy six cool cats, which are awesome, big shout out to them, and you go into that Discord and you go into that Twitter and you're pot committed. Like, with no thought of anything else, because you want those things that you minted for.
Find out you made a big mistake.
Yeah, you just want, especially after what we saw with the incredible nature of Bored Ape and with punks, everyone's looking for theirs. That's all that's happening right now. Everyone's looking for theirs. Everyone's looking for their B-friends, for their punks, right? And to your point, the compliment I was giving you, you have this long-term project. One of the reasons I wanted to do the thing we did for the Vayner people and why I continue to like watch it and buy it occasionally is, I just think you're doing this forever.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of the things I did the most was when I saw you were starting to make real money on Bored Ape Yacht and started liquidating some, I was watching very carefully, like, how you were gonna act. You know, it's a very different life when you start having money, when you start having famous people inviting you to their parties. I was really watching you strictly for two core reasons. I care about you, and if I thought you were gonna lose your mind a little bit, I was gonna tell you nicely. No, really, in like the most amazing way, like, hey brother, I've seen this a lot, keep this in mind. And two, because I believe in your project and I wanna keep buying it, and if you're gonna lose your mind, I don't wanna buy your project.
I think I'm very fortunate that you came along because you have a very positive message overall, and it's really made me think a lot more about how I act outwardly, being around you and hearing that positivity and how it's worked out for you. So thank you for whatever part you played with that.
I guess, question for both of you, and Gary, I'm just talking to you. I've got 6 big fans, big fans, everything you're doing. Appreciate all of what you guys do to help educate and bring many of us into the space. Said many times that we are very early. I think we all know we're very early. Outside of, I know we've got artists in the room, we've got investors, we've got entrepreneurs like myself. Outside of investing in individual projects, potentially creating our own, what are some other things we could be thinking about doing to take advantage of the fact that we're so early in this space, and we know every company, every brand eventually is going to be coming into this, and I want to know, hey, I was here early and I created these things or got involved in these things to really take advantage.
My belief is the first thing one does with information that's early is sharing it. You know, the first thing you can do is start your own Discord and have 87 people in there and have great intent to bring them value. The biggest problem with the influencer marketing space, the Web 2.0 space, and the Web 3.0 space is people start with the starting point of how am I gonna make money? And then they work backwards. The reason I am going to consistently win for the rest of my life is I start with what's in it for them. And so the best thing you can do is start with what's in it for them, right? But then I think the other thing you have to do is deploy self-awareness. Some people here really want to do events. And like, so you start an events company that focuses on Web3. Other people really love merchandise. Like, you have to understand, the Web3 concept, really the blockchain, specifically what NFTs mean and the way I've been thinking a lot lately if these are gonna actually be called NFTs in 7 years, because I remember when everything was called a Web 2.0 site, not a social media site. Like, that's how early we are. I'm like, I wonder if this name's gonna stick, right? But the concept of what it is, it's gonna be every contract in the world, all of them. So like, I don't know what you're into, but everything's in play. Everything is in play. You can build the most successful gym franchise in the world, like an Equinox, right? By being smarter about what an NFT means. This is ridiculous. I, with no promotion ahead of time, in late August, created one of the biggest selling books of all time. Of all time. Like, guys, 12 and a half outsold all my other books combined, and all my other books are New York Times best-selling books. So that was me using the platform to create an event. There is literally nothing you can say. Vicky's fucking ice cream business can be 10 times bigger if she understands. I know, Rob. If she understands.
Well, those books.
I get it. But so Andy, I think that was my point in 2006, 7, and 8 with social media. I understood, because I think about communication, that social was gonna change the way we voted, had political view. Look what's happened because of social. That's not, I love how people are like, it's ruined everything. I'm like, you liked mainstream media when we had the highest levels of dictatorships and fascism and like, but this is that big. There isn't a business that you can mention to me right now that an NFT layer understanding of what that can mean won't touch. Right now we're too literal. It's a pass, it's a collectible. We're so early, this is how everything will be done.
I appreciate that. I'm starting an NFT podcast here. I think we can all do stuff like that to educate people.
And one thing, when you go to that journey, don't be scared to say, I don't know. The quickest way to ruin, so many of you have lost by faking the funk, and somebody that knows saw it and you lost equity. My greatest strength is to stay very narrow. When people are like, Gary, you say the same shit. I'm like, till the end. I don't wanna talk about things I don't know. And I think a lot of people in early spaces, I saw it heavy in Web 2.0. A lot of people that were early felt the pressure to fake that they were an expert, destroyed them. It's okay, talk about what you know.
All right. Hey, Jimmy, Gary. My name is Tyler, NFT Anonymous. How are you?
Good to see you.
Thanks for hosting this event today. My question is to ask, what do you think is the best strategy or the most organic way for us to be spreading awareness and onboarding new people into Web3?
I don't know how scalable my solution is, but the way that I've gone about bringing people into Web3 has been to give them a rising NFT. You know, have them set up an OpenSea account and then sign up for notifications and they can start getting their offers, and that really hits home instantly. It's their first hit a crack and they're hooked. So that's basically
you're a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I agree with that, by the way. I do think giving a little nickel bag always works. I took a very specific approach, which was, I was in a, you know, everyone's in different places. Once I realized what was going on, I took a very big responsibility to go to other people that I knew had major platforms and desperately try to educate them so that when they came, they would be giving out good information, right? And we could do that in different ways. So that's what I did, but that's not for everybody, because I had a point of my career where I had influence over influencers. I think the best thing we can all do is communicate in a 360 world. The biggest mistake that this audience is doing is trying to convince their normal friends. Biggest mistake.
It's so hard though.
It's a complete and utter waste of time. Because what I think is much more powerful than convincing is conviction. You just need to execute. They'll come. You trying to convince is literally wasted energy. That hour that you tried to convince your coworker could have been an hour that you spent learning about Immutable or Poly or Cardano or what bridging means or what, like, you're wasting time convincing, I promise. Back to us being early, this collective room is wasting an ungodly amount of time trying to convince. Just have conviction, you get sharper. If you believe in it so much, they'll end up being here. All my friends told me nobody would buy shit on the internet when, in 1995. All my friends told me that Twitter was the stupidest thing of all time, because who cares what you're eating or who's walking a dog? Convincing is just your insecurities showing up. Have conviction, get stronger in your craft. They will show up if you're right. I'll go first because you can answer deeper. I believe in the market. I have no feelings towards it. Here's what I mean by that. If they don't figure it out, another chain's going to, and it's gonna be a problem. And I'm okay. No matter how much ETH I sit on, or if I convert it to other things, the way I think about the gas wars is the market, is the market, is the market. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm incredibly comfortable. I'm doing Series 2 for a very specific reason. Series 1, sooner than I thought. Series 1 got too expensive too fast. and I want a lot of more people in our world, and a lot of people want to be in our world, and I have to give a second bite at the apple. It's even why I did the book thing, right? But much later down, 3 years from now, if I do a series three, I can do it anywhere. I really like the way ETH scales in a lot of ways and how many developers on it, but the gas thing is a real thing to a lot of people. Now, that being said, everyone's big promises on other chains also have the same problem that they didn't expect, right? So I'm watching. And much like every project, when I tell you that every day I root for Bored Ape, Cool Cats, World of Women, I hate, and I don't like using that word, I hate that people are shitting on other projects because they think that helps theirs. It's the worst human behavior. I root for every fucking project because I think the world is abundant. It's the same way I think about chains. I love Ethereum, but like, I don't have any negative feelings towards any of the other chains. In fact, I have a lot of positive feelings, and I'm incredibly curious. I hate that I'm so busy because I want to do more on the other platforms, Sol and Cardano. I want to see it all, and I'm watching very, very, very carefully, and I'm incredibly open to building projects on other chains, and I'm incredibly excited. If 9 years from now it's this, then that's that. I've always been that way. To me, I don't care if it's MySpace or Twitter or Snap. I just want to do what the consumer wants. And I think that's where people get caught. They sit on too much ETH, too much Sol, too much this, and then they're pushing their own agenda. You can't fight the market. Nobody's got a big enough platform. Nobody's important enough to fight the reality of it. And if the gas wars continue to upset human beings, they will move. The fact that people have a cynical point of view destroys my Sol. And so you get in. The reason I came so hard to NFTs is because the sports card industry was pushing me out because they thought I was pumping and dumping when I didn't sell a single fucking sports card. With this chain, with this world, you could follow me. You could see my behaviors. So I'm like, this is fucking awesome. This is transparency. I don't have to get caught. You could see what I'm doing. It's all right there. Fuck you. I would never ruin my fucking reputation to make $8 on a fucking Kevin Durant rookie card, you fucking idiot. And I made enough money long ago. You think I'm really gonna pump some fucking bullshit PFP project to make $80,000 in 24 hours, you fucking asshole? I'm not. And I know a lot of people do, but that's why I came to this world, but I don't want the power. I don't. I do not want it. There's nothing in it for me.
But people also track your quote-unquote money, people in airdrop.
And I get it, but people have to get educated. My whole fucking OpenSea is a fucking disaster because everybody airdrops me all this fucking garbage. The biggest problem, you know what the biggest problem for Matic is? The biggest problem for Matic is that it's cheap and that's what's getting dropped. So my subconscious thinks that Poly sucks because of that.
Well, I mean, drops specifically are creating like bigger gas wars. I think that like, we were probably all used to at least paying like 100 gas for a good NFT, which sucks, but like maybe we'll pay that when it's fight for like 700 or 800 during a drop. That's money left on the table by the developer that we are directly paying to miners instead. If you think about it, because you're willing to pay that gas.
The problem is people are complaining about their own bad behavior.
Yeah.
They're cost factoring in the gas. They're 90% of the people in the space are trying to day trade mints.
Yep.
Let's stop pretending here. Let's stop pretending. The majority of people are looking for a financial arbitrage.
Yep.
And it's the biggest vulnerability.
That's where I've lost the most.
I love a good garage sale, and I love that arbitrage, but think about why I talk about garage sales versus all the other financial arbs, because it's for the hundreds of thousands of DMs I get that say, fuck you, Gary V, I can't invest in Uber or this and that. So I'm like, cool, I only have 800 bucks. I'm like, cool, let me show you what I did for a decade when I only had 800 bucks. And like, you can do things. Listen, I love a good flip. What I don't like is hypocrisy. What I don't like is people talking shit when you can see their motives right through their shit. Like, people are talking holier than thou, mad at things. They're just trying to buy something, get a pack of cards, pull a high one, relist it. Like, we need to be very honest with our collective selves or we're gonna find, I believe that there is a 100% chance of a massive dip. Because, why do I say that? because 90% of the people are in it to flip and they're just moving project to project. We don't have enough demand to cover the amount of supply. Yeah. You have so much greed. Everybody wants to put out a project. Everybody wants to day trade. It's 90% of the action.
And probably not everybody's accounting for the taxes. I think that's what I'm
really that I don't know what, I don't know what people are thinking, but I do know why it's happening. Money blinds people like a motherfucker. It's also about alternatives, right? It's also about alternatives, right? Bitcoin didn't have a ton of alternatives. It was such innovation. Today, when you have 7,000 projects come out every month, to answer your question, I had a 30-minute meeting with somebody today for, as many of you know in VFriends, the PLP project, right? Where, you know, I'm trying to continue to bring value. Andy, I don't know what you thought. I thought that was a ridiculously impressive meeting. Why? Because they've done it before in a different way. You know, I'm now getting very serious. This is a tough one for me. Let me break it down. What am I currently looking for? Projects with founders who've had success before. The problem with that is Uber, Facebook, Google, all companies that had founders that didn't have success before. On the flip side, it just makes me very comfortable. Like, it's nice to see, you can see the data, you can see the patterns. Right? So I am completely basing my judgment on the jockey. I personally have learned a lot in these first 6 months, right? The first project I ever gave any love to, because I subjectively loved the art, was a project where the guy stole the art. Yep. You know, and like that was like a real vulnerability. Like when people would razz me for that in Discords, I was devastated because I'm like, fuck, like what an unlucky situation for me. I thought this was about some, you know, we all have our subjective opinion about
like
art.
A couple, right?
Yeah, I was, I mean, you know, and Becky's here with Fame. Like there's, you know, you learn. So now I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm like, really, I'm gonna Zoom, like I Zoomed Danny. Like I knew a lot about Danny, cause I'm in New York, following a little bit of the vibe. I fucking watched the fucking Vice documentary on him. I fucking Zoomed that motherfucker, like, and spent like an hour with him and his crew. I hung up, I'm like, oh shit, this reminds me of the ASAP crew, Rocky, Ferg, all this. I'm like, these fuckers are gonna win.
You're talking about creatures.
I'm talking about creatures there, right? So that's when I, you know, then I was comfortable, right? Sarah, right now, Woman in Weapons, like I bought her alpha. I looked at it, I watched her from afar. Then I bought the alpha, then I watched her after that. Because after an event like that, after I buy people's pieces or other people, you see what happens, we all know. Some people go from, nobody knows them, somebody puts them on, and all of a sudden they think they're fucking the shit. But like the lack of fucking humility is devastating out here. So I first watched, then I bought her shit, then I watched how she handled that, and she tripled down on the good things, which when she then came, as many of you know, because it seems like a lot of you follow me close enough, that was the first project I said anything about in like 7 weeks, whereas earlier I was more active. So I'm trying to be more thoughtful. I'm petrified of my reputation, and I don't want to get into where I got to with sports cards. I loved those fucking first 2 years of sports cards. Then when I became too important to the space, and all the cynicism kicks in, and everybody thinks about short term, it put me in a place where I was better off saying nothing. Right? I don't wanna be in a place where I say nothing about projects I believe in, but I'm telling you right now, I will protect my reputation over everything to the end. And if I have to say nothing about another project, I'm happy to do it. I really am. I'm incredibly happy to do it. I'll just spend all my time on VFriends and myself. That's sad. But that's people's cynical, transactional mindset. But I also have to be thoughtful and do a lot of homework before I co-sign, and I've learned that lesson the hard way.